Chapter 2, Two Runaways. He was almost 50, and he looked it. His hair was long and tangled and greasy. As for his clothes, just rags, that was all. "He kept looking at me all over," he says. "Very dressed up, very. You think you're something, don't you?" I says, "Maybe I do, maybe I don't." "Don't you give me none of your lip," says he. "I hear you've been to school, can read and write. You think you're better than your father now, because he can't. I'll take it out of you. Just let me catch you fooling around that school again, you hear? I'll tan you good." He sat there a-mumbling and a-growling for a minute. Then he says, "I ain't been in town 2 days, and all I hear about is you being rich. You get me that money from Judge Thatcher tomorrow, I want it." "I ain't got no money." "You ask Judge Thatcher. He'll tell you the same." "All right, I'll ask him, and I'll make him pay up, too." But Pap couldn't get a cent out of Judge Thatcher, so every now and then I'd borrow $2 or $3 off the judge for Pap to get drunk on. It kept him from beating me. Pap got to hanging around the widow's too much. She told him that if he didn't quit coming around, she'd make trouble for him. He said he would show them who was Huck Finn's boss. So one day he catched me. He took me in a boat about 3 miles up the river. Soon we got to a log cabin hid there in the woods. We fished and hunted, and our catch was what we lived on. The widow found out where I was, and she sent a man over to try and take me back. But Pap drove him off with his gun. A couple of months went by, and I got used to being where I was. I didn't see how I ever got to like it at the widow's. There you had to go to bed and get up regular and have old Miss Watson pecking at you. But Pap got to beating me all the time. I couldn't stand it. He'd go away a lot, too, and lock me in. I made up my mind I was going to run off. One day, when he was gone, I found an old rusty saw blade stuck up between the boards of the roof. I went to work on one of those logs under the corner under the table. It was a good long job, but I had a hole most sawed through by the time I heard Pap coming. I figured I could crawl through the hole that night if he got drunk enough. After supper, Pap got the jug and drank and drank. He tumbled down in his blankets by and by, but didn't go to sleep. Before I knew it, I was asleep. When I woke, Pap was on his feet, holding his knife and looking wild. He called me the Angel of Death and said he would kill me. I begged and told him I was only Huck. But he laughed such a screechy laugh and roared and cussed and chased after me. Once he made a grab and got me by the jacket. I thought it was gone, but I slid out of the jacket quick as lightning and saved myself. By and by he wore out and dropped down with his back against the door. He said he would rest a while and then kill me. But he dozed off pretty soon. Next morning, Pap didn't know nothing about what he'd been doing. He sent me off to the river to see if there was a fish on the line for breakfast. I noticed some branches and such things floating on the water, so I knew the river had begun to rise. Back when I lived in town, the rise used to be great times for me. There's always cordwood and pieces of log rafts floating down, and all you have to do is catch them and sell them to the sawmill. I went along the bank with one eye out for Pap and the other looking for anything the river might bring along. All at once, a canoe about 13 foot long comes floating down. I figured she must have broken loose as the river began to rise. I dove in and got hold of her. First, I thinks the old man will be pleased. She's worth $10. Then I had an idea. I figured I'd take her when I run off. So I hit her good. When I got back, Pap was angry with me for being so slow with the fish line. But I told him I fell in the river. Pap wanted to go into town, so about 3:30 he locked me in and left. I waited till he had a good start. Then I got the saw and went to work on the log. Before Pap was across the river, I was out. I took a sack of cornmeal and the bacon. I took all the sugar, coffee and sugar. I also took the frying pan, the coffee pot, and the fish line and the matches. I took everything in the cabin that was worth a cent and loaded it into the canoe. Then I shoved the log back into place and covered up the sawdust. If you didn't know it was sawed, you wouldn't ever notice it. I went off with the gun looking for birds when I see a wild pig. I shot the pig and hauled him back to the cabin. I smashed in the door with the axe and brought in the pig and let the blood fall on the ground. Next, I filled an old sack full of big rocks and dragged it to the river and dumped it in. I figured they would follow the track of the sack of rocks to the water's edge, then drag the river for my body. They'd soon get tired of that and wouldn't bother no more about me. I climbed into the canoe and paddled off towards Jackson Island. I knew that island pretty well. Nobody ever came there. It seemed like a good place for me to live. I reached in just as the sky was turning gray. I pulled the canoe up to the bank and into some thick willow branches. Then I stepped into the woods to sleep. The sun was so high when I woke up, I figured it must be 8 o'clock. I was laying there feeling lazy and comfortable when I hears a boom. A ferry boat was coming along, firing its cannon. They always fire a cannon when someone's drowned, to make the body come up. The boat came near, and I see Pap and Judge Thatcher and Tom Sawyer and his guardian, Aunt Polly, and his brother Sid, and plenty more. I knew I was all right now. Nobody would come looking after me. 3 lonesome days and nights went by. I fished and picked berries and explored around. Then while I was chasing after a snake, I bounded right into the ashes of a campfire that was still smoking. My heart jumped. I went sneaking back as fast as I could. That night I slept in the canoe, but I didn't sleep easy. By and by I says to myself, I'm a-going to find out who's on this island with me or bust. Just as day was coming, I found the campfire again. And there, sleeping on the ground, was Miss Watson's slave, Jim. Well, Jim was sure I was a ghost, but pretty quick he knew I wasn't dead after all. I was so glad to see him, I weren't lonesome no more. I told him about how I got away from Pap. Then I says, "How do you come to be here, Jim?" Jim made me promise not to tell. Then he says, I run off. "Jim! But mind, you said you wouldn't tell. You know you said you wouldn't tell, Huck." Well, I did, and I'll stick to it. People will call me a low-down abolitionist, but that don't make no difference. I ain't going to tell. Jim tells me he run off when he learned Miss Watson was going to sell him down in New Orleans for $800. He figured he was rich now. He says, "I owns myself, and I's worth $800. I wish I had the money, though.